Living Hope Church, and what a wonderful blessing it is to be here this morning. I'm getting just a little bit of a back feed up here, GB, where I'm at. Well, good morning. Let's try that one more time. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I come here this morning saying, as I always do, grace and peace be to you from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would, please, turn in the Word of God, their Bibles, to Joshua chapter 2. We'll be picking it up at verse 12 today, and we'll be reading several verses through the rest of that chapter. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles with you, whether in printed or digital format, please hold them up over your head. I love seeing the Word of God all over the sanctuary. Doesn't matter if it's digital or if it's printed. However, if you're sitting next to someone that has their Bible in digital format, they have it on their iPhone, and you catch them texting or playing solitaire, I just want you to stand up right where you are and start praying for them. Nah, I'm just kidding, guys. But you know what? The Bible that we bring here, we make it a very important thing to make sure we have our Bibles open in our laps when the pastor or the preacher is teaching. You see, the Bible is not written for our information. The Bible, the Word of God, was written for our transformation. You know, it calls on us to confess that God's Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. You want to know how to conduct your life, you read the Word of God. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. It is a testimony to Christ, who is Himself the focus of divine revelation. You know, we call the Bible a hymn book. It is all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. But how is the Word of God received today, friends? Is it received in our society in general? I think we would all agree that the answer is no. And why would that be? Well, you know, Amos 8, verse 11, God speaking through the prophet says, I will send a famine into the land. Not a famine for food or drink or sustenance, but a famine for the Word of God. And that people will run about searching for it, but they will not find it unless it is brought to them. So what are we to do in a famine when there is a famine of people that do not want to receive the Word of God? Well, we need to remember Isaiah 55:11, where God says, my Word will not return to me void. It will do the purpose for which I have sent it out. You know, in the book of Genesis, in the story of Isaac, in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, the scripture reads that there was a famine in the land at that time. Now, that was a famine for actual food. But in other words, in the land where Isaac lived, there was a famine in that land. But what did Isaac do about that? Well, in verse 12 of chapter 26 of the book of Genesis, it says that, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed Isaac. What is the point? Whether there is a famine in the land for the Word of God or not, we are to sow the good word of the Lord. And that's why I ask you to have your Bibles open. That's why I ask you to have it open right in front of you so that you bring in the Word of God into your lives. And only, just as a byproduct, you keep your preacher straight. Amen? Yeah, that amen was a little loud right there. But we're over here in the Word of God, the book of Joshua, chapter 12. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
You know, we're now in part C of part 3 of our current series. And I've said that we're going to be in the book of Joshua probably throughout most of the year. We'll stop periodically for specific series. We'll have a series during Easter. We'll have a series during Thanksgiving. We'll have a series during Christmas, of course. But primarily this year, we're going to be in the book of Joshua talking about living a significant life. Do you want to live a significant life? Do you want to make a difference in your community? Do you want to make a difference for God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we do that through our lives and through the Word of God. And in the first part of part 3, the points that we've made so far, we saw the providence that confronted her. The her is Rahab in the story of chapter 2 of the book of Joshua. We know that Rahab was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She was a shady lady. But salvation was to come to her because she believed on the Lord. See, there was a providence that confronted her. It was a providence of God that Joshua sent two spies. They came to her house. And she and her family, it was determined that they will be saved. Not only was it the providence that confronted her, but what you see there in your notes, we've already filled it in for you. You've already been there before. But it was the evidence that convicted her. You see, Rahab saw the evidence of God at work in the lives of the Israelites. Well, why was he working? Why was he working? Because the people of God were available. If you look up quickly in your Bibles, in chapter 1, verse 16, if you're there, say amen. Joshua had called on the people to go into this land. And it says, so they answered Joshua saying, all that you commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. In other words, the man of God had received through the word of God from God himself the things that the people were to do. He made it known to them. And therefore, the people said, we will do that. It lines up with the word of God. It lines up with what God has been telling us. Therefore, we're available. And because they were available, God was able to do great and mighty things. Do you want to do great things in Coral Springs, Florida? Do you want to touch people for Jesus Christ? You must be available. You must show up. You know what? 99% of the things that get done are done by people that simply show up. And whatever your giftedness is, you may say, well, Pastor, I'm not a great prayer warrior. I'm not a teacher of the Bible. And I say, well, can you sing? And if you can, well, I can make a joyful noise. Well, that's good enough. Come make a joyful noise and encourage our praise team. Because our praise team is encouraged when they see people worshiping Almighty God. Amen? These people were available. Now we're going to fill in our third point. We're going to do it right up front here before we read our passage. But is that the next slide, Miss Sunita? Or did I get them out of order again? Is the passage the next slide? Well, let's go to the Word of God for the passage. If you're there, say amen. Verse 12. All right. Let's go back to the passage up on the screen. Joshua chapter 2, reading at verse 12. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me, this is Rahab speaking, by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. Now skip down to verse 17. We'll read 17 through 21. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear. Unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household into your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. And so what we see right now, as we look at our point, is we're going to see the confidence which converted her. Go ahead, and I went through those things already, Miss Sunita. I was so excited about the message today, I went right through all that. And so now we come to the third point. If you go back up to the third point, please. The confidence that converted her. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, that it was faith in Almighty God that transformed this woman's life. In other words, it was not of works. It was not of doing a bunch of stuff, but it was by faith that she was converted. You know, as we look at this, we have a question. Well, what's with this scarlet cord? You know, because the Word of God is very representative throughout all of it. I said before that the Bible is a hymn book. Amen? Let's try that again. This Bible is a hymn book. Amen? Amen? All right, now we're involved. And it's all about Him. Who is the hymn that it's all about? It's all about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you read your Bible and you do not find Jesus Christ there in some way, shape, or form, you are reading the Word of God incorrectly. So this scarlet line, These men had escaped down a court outside, and Rahab says, I want to be saved. In other words, when she says, I want to be saved, she's saying, I want the mercy. I want the blessings. I want the kindness of God upon me. And they said, okay, but if you want to be delivered of God, then you have to take this scarlet rope. The King James Version says string or strand, but the true rendering of this in the original language is cord, and a cord for them was like a rope, like we would see a regular little rope these days that will bear your weight. So these guys didn't climb down the outside of the wall on a string. Amen? So it was not a thread, it was not a string, but it was a cord. You take this scarlet cord, they said, you tie it on this window, and we will tell the army, this mighty army that is coming, this mighty army that has been going through the desert, through the Exodus, this mighty army that God has allowed to defeat every single foe that has presented itself to them. We will tell this army that when they come to destroy all of Jericho, skip this house. Skip this house. And when they pass by, everybody in that house where this scarlet cord is hanging out of will be saved. So friends, what does the scarlet cord stand for? What is the symbolism that we need to see here? You see, the scarlet cord is an Old Testament picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, these Jewish spies who told her this had the stories, had the remembering of the Passover lamb. And when Pharaoh sent his people to kill all the, pardon me, when God sent the death angels to kill all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, if they had the blood of the lamb over the doorway, the death angel passed by. Amen? Amen. And so they knew that story. But turn to Exodus, if you will, please. In your Bibles, that's to the left. Exodus chapter 12, if you would. Exodus chapter 12. I remember I had a... And we're going to look at, begin in verse 21. Exodus 12, verse 21. I love seeing and hearing those Bibles turn. Exodus is right before the third book in the Bible. I love when I have new Christians. I love when I have new Christians. And I had admonished a new Christian, a new believer that had received Jesus Christ, to begin reading their Bibles from front to back. You know, read 15, 20 minutes a day, and you can get through it in a year. And so I asked them after a period of time, I said, how are you doing on your readings? Oh, Pastor, I'm doing good. I'm all the way up to Leviticus. And I said, well, amen. God bless you. Keep going. Wait till you get some of those other books. You know, you'll just say, you know what? I'm in the one that was after such and such. But in Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 21, if you're there, please say amen. It says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel in the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Now listen to this. This is so good. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. In other words, the blood of the Passover lamb had protected him. And I'm here to tell you today that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the lifestyle that you've had. It doesn't matter what has gone on. You can be saved by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter the depths at which you've lived, the heights at which you've done in human terms. We are all sinners that are ready to be saved by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for it is by faith, through grace, that you have been saved. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. You know, I love that passage. Because it, right before that, it reads that we were bound for hell. We were bound for death. But it reads, but God. But God. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, that all that receive Him shall be saved. What an amazing thing that is. To know that from the beginning of time, as soon as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit determined to have the creation, the Son of God knew He would have to go to the cross. And when he was upon that cross, he knew, and I know, that he was there for Larry. He was there for Marguerite. He was there for Brother Jim. He was there for Mary. He was there for Doreen and Miss Ruth Ann. Isn't that an amazing thing? That the Son of God would go to the cross for us. And look at this passage on the screen in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump." You know what? My wife has called me that a few times. You know, you're a new lump. "Since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Christ was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. And friends, the Israelites were saved by the blood of the Passover lamb. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb of God. And this scarlet cord we see in our story was to be to Rahab, the harlot, what that scarlet blood was to them and what the blood of Christ is to us. Why is that so important? Why is that so important? Well, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Friends, how do we get to heaven? You won't get there by good works. You won't get there by giving a lot of money. You won't get there by being earlier on time or staying late at church. You won't get to heaven by being baptized. You could be baptized until your skin looks like a prune. That's not going to get you to heaven. There is only one thing that you can be redeemed by, and it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain in our life. Are you suffering with drug addiction? Whether you're in this sanctuary or watching on the internet, there is power in the blood of Jesus to break that chain. Are you suffering with carnality in your lifestyle? There is power in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's all that we can be redeemed by. So what was it that transformed Rahab? It was the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I know you're thinking, wait a minute, preacher. How could Rahab be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Jesus hadn't even been born in his human form yet, much less died. Well, if you look at the screen, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." When was it determined that the blood of Jesus was enough for salvation? Before the foundation of the world. That's an amazing thing to understand. That's an amazing thing. Guys, Rahab was just as saved looking forward to the blood of Jesus Christ as we are looking back at the blood of Jesus Christ. God has one plan of salvation, and it's in that name above all names, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Do you want to get to heaven? It's through Jesus Christ. John 14:6 reads, Jesus had been asked, "How do we know the way to get to where you are going?" Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Friends, there is power, as we sang earlier, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. As that old hymn reads, "What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Now, what did the blood do for Rahab? Not only did it deliver her, but it transformed her. It wasn't just judgment that she escaped. Rahab, because of the salvation that happens in her life, becomes a pure woman. A righteous woman. She marries a prince, and she is actually the great, great grandmother of King David. And Jesus is from that tribe of Judah. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Jesus Christ is from the lineage of King David. You can find that over in the book of Matthew. You do look at the ancestry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you come right there to Rahab the harlot. Now, does anyone here have someone embarrassing in their family tree? If you're saying no, you might be the one that's embarrassing in your family tree. You might be that person. But they have been transformed. There's an old hymn that says, "Be of sin the double curve, save from wrath and make me pure, Lord." You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, this is such a magnificent passage. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I believe we should have it up on the screen. What does it say about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christians? "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of blood to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek." And then the Apostle Paul later in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." You ever had people just mock you because you're a Christian? How can that be? How can him going to the cross, that is so silly that anyone would ever do that? Well, that's the plan that God had. God doesn't have a plan B. God doesn't have a plan C. God has one plan for his people. And that is that we receive salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Rahab may not have understood it all. Listen, if you're sitting here in this sanctuary, you're watching on the internet, and you've never been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure you don't understand it all. You may not be getting all that I'm saying today. Just understand this one primary thing, that you must be saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way. You see, I certainly didn't understand it all when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. But I do know that while I was spiritually ignorant, I had a heart that was hungry for God. It burned for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, as a young lad, in a revival, in one of those old Southern Baptist revivals, I was at church, preacher was preaching, I thought that guy's head was going to explode. His face was red, he had on a tie that was like five sizes too tight. But he was preaching the Word of God, and I became so convicted of my sin that I stepped out in the power of the Holy Spirit and gave my heart publicly to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are called to do that, to do it publicly. There was a lot I didn't understand, but I walked up to that preacher and I gave my heart to God with simple, childlike faith that God will do what God says He will do. And God said that that was how I was to be saved, and I simply accepted that. But when Jesus Christ came into my heart, He started a work that He's not finished with yet. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know, the Lord's not done with you yet. The Lord's not done doing a good work in your life. Matter of fact, look at the person next to you or behind you or around you and say, "The Lord's not done with you yet." Well, I didn't say point your fingers. It didn't call for no elbows in the sides of the husbands. But the Lord's not done with us yet. And guys, the same gospel that transformed Rahab is the one that has transformed and is transforming me today. None of us is there, amen? We all have those days when we're not quite right with the Lord. It can happen on the interstate. It can happen waiting in a line. You know, as I've said many times, what's down in the well is bound to come up sooner or later in the bucket. So we need to be careful of those things. But I just want to say, I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But I want you to notice something really and truly amazing about Rahab the harlot. Not only did she confess her faith secretly, but she confessed it outwardly and openly. Look back at Joshua chapter 2, verse 21 again. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. "Then she said, 'According to your words, so be it.' And she went and she sent them away and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window." She didn't hide this scarlet cord in the closet. She didn't hide this scarlet cord and bring it out on Sunday or Saturday or whatever, or Wednesday night. She bound that scarlet cord publicly, outwardly, openly, unashamedly, declaring that here is a house that is under the blood of God's promise. May I ask, have you ever been ashamed to confess the Lord Jesus Christ because you're in a great big crowd and they were mocking them? Don't be ashamed. Be bold. Show some tact. Don't be like the preacher that says things were going really well. I was beating him over the head with my Bible when things turned ugly. Don't be that person. Show some grace. Show some tact. But be unashamed about who it is that you believe and who died for your sins. Have you tied the scarlet cord in the window of your life? Have you tied that scarlet cord in your home? If you look on the screen, Mark chapter 8, verse 38 reads, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Listen, guys, there's all kinds of theologies about the end times. When is Jesus coming back? You know, we are a pre-tribulation rapture, pre-millennial reign, return of Christ church. That is what we believe. But listen, friends, whether you ascribe to that or not, we still love you. And if you're listening here or on the internet, well, here's what we want you to get. Whatever you may say about pre-trib, post-trib, amillennial, whatever you may have heard or think, here's what I want you to know. He's coming back. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And I know, let me tell you something. When we had our Christmas series and we studied the baby Jesus in the manger, here's what I want you to know. That's not the one that's coming back. He's coming back in righteous. Amen. Righteous judgment with his host of angels. And when he comes back, those of us that have been raptured will be with him. We'll be dressed in white as he prepares to do battle. Why are we dressed in white? Because the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. Amen? So friends, listen to me here and on the internet. Scripture says that one day Jesus Christ will return. And when he does, I hope there's a scarlet cord in your life tied openly and publicly. I hope you are where you're supposed to be. Wouldn't it be awkward, I've said so many times, if the Lord Jesus Christ returned and we were raptured as a church on Sunday morning. And that was the Sunday you decided to stay home. That's just one of life's awkward moments that, in that case, will stay with you forever. You know, forever. You know, like in a trillion years in heaven, somebody can walk up to you and say, even though we know all things then, "Oh, by the way, where were you when Jesus came back?" I want to say I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was where I was supposed to be. I was serving the Lord. Amen? I was serving the Lord. Is your home under the blood? Are your loved ones under the blood of Jesus Christ? You know, we have one of our sweet ladies that's in a hospital right now, Miss Edna. And Miss Edna's over at West Boca Medical Center. And she was in room 261. She's being moved to room 201, I think, today or tomorrow. And we went to see her. 92 years old. She had intestinal surgery on Wednesday evening, I believe it was. Miss Ruth Ann and I visited her on Wednesday. She was hollering she was ready to eat. Apparently, we visited her on Friday. She was hollering, "I'm ready to eat." So I think Miss Edna is going to be fine. But keep her in your prayers. Amen? Amen? Some people say, "Well, you know what? This whole profession of faith, I don't see why I have to make such a public show of it, Pastor Larry." Well, I'm glad Ahab didn't say that. I'm glad Ahab didn't live that. You see, Dr. Adrian Rogers tells a story about a lady in church who was under deep conviction. And some folks in attendance saw her and they went to her and they invited her to come forward. They would come with her to receive Jesus Christ. And she says, no, there's too many people here. You know, I'm a timid person. Can't I be saved back here?" They said, no, you got to come forward. Now, I know what I've said about the thief on the cross. Just keep with me here for just a second, guys. It's a good story. All right? It's a true story. The next service, the lady comes and she's under even greater conviction. They went back and spoke to her again. She says, oh, I want to be saved. And they said, "But I'm really shy. Can I be saved back here?" And they said, "No." The next service where her heart was about to break. And again, they say, "Won't you come and confess Jesus Christ openly and publicly as Lord?" You know what she said? She says, "Yes, I believe the Son of God. I believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will come forward." And they said, "Oh, that's all right. You're already saved." You see, the coming forward is simply a strong public profession of that. The work has already been done in your heart. And Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words before this sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you when I come in the Father's glory with His holy angels. Listen, friends, I want to tell you that the faith that will not lead to confession will not lead to heaven. You must confess the Lord Jesus Christ. On our screen, Romans chapter 10, verse 11 reads, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
One last word and I'm finished. There are some of you that may be thinking, Pastor, what you say is all right for a person like Rahab. She needed to be changed, but not me. I would never do what she has done. She was a harlot. She was a shady lady. She was a prostitute. But I'm a good person. I'm not that way. I don't do those kind of things. I have good manners. Matter of fact, Pastor, I'm so good, I don't even think I need this gospel that you keep talking about. Do you know what Jesus Christ said to the self-righteous people of His day? Look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 31 on the screen. It's all about a story of one person that said, yes, I will receive, or I will do the thing I'm supposed to do, but never did. But the other one that said, no, I'm not going to, but at the last second came and received. It says, which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Turn in your Bibles quickly, if you would, to the very last page of the book of Revelation. The very last page of the book of Revelation. I've quoted this many, many times, but I want to... We actually have a couple of extra minutes this morning. And I'm a preacher, and there's just no way I'm going to let that go. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. If you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read the verse right above, right before it. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offering of David, the bright and morning star. Now listen to this next part. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Why do I say that? See, friends, what the world does not realize, because sometimes Christians can be awfully mean people. But what the world does not realize is that really and truly Christians desperately want you to get saved. If you're in this sanctuary, we desperately want you to be in heaven with us. If you're watching on the internet, we desperately want you to make it into heaven. And sometimes we can be a little strident in how we say that. Why are we so strident at times? It's because we are absolutely convinced that what God has said, God will do. And God has said that the day is coming when time will be no more. And all of the chances will be gone to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And when that happens, on that day, those that have never believed will be cast into the lake of fire. Now let me ask you something. Whether you're here or on the internet or watching a DVD, if you knew beyond any doubt whatsoever that a volcano was going to erupt in your neighborhood, that it was absolutely coming, would you just go knock on that door and invite them to leave the neighborhood? No. You would be screaming at the top of your voice. Destruction is coming. And that's what happens sometimes for those of you that are not saved, that are listening today. That's why Christians seem a little strident sometimes. Why we seem a little forceful. Because we know that God will do what God has said He will do. And that Jesus Christ is coming again. And when that happens, time will be no more. Now just listen to me for a second. This is that the Spirit and the bride are saying, please come and take freely of the water of life. In other words, it says, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Pastor, I don't know enough. It doesn't say you need to know enough. Whosoever will. Pastor, I've been bad. It doesn't say just if you're good. It says whosoever will. Pastor, I don't speak that well. I can't do this. I can't do that. It doesn't say any of that. It says whosoever will. I call your attention to the thief on the cross. The two thieves on the cross when Christ was crucified. One did not receive him, but one did. And one said, Lord, remember me in heaven. And Jesus says, surely this day you will see me in paradise. That man did not have a chance to go to church. He did not have a chance to tithe. He did not have a chance to do any good works. He did not have a chance to get out and share the gospel. All that he did was have a chance to receive Jesus Christ, and his words are recorded in Scripture. That's how simple that it is. Whosoever will, whosoever desires, let them take the water of life freely. It is the free gift of salvation. But you must receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise in the house of God. You see, like Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Me, especially. All you sweet-looking, spiritual, church-looking people out there, you too, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God knew that. And that's why we know that, as we saw in Scripture earlier, that before the foundation of the world, Christ knew that He would have to die for our sins. Friends, I want to tell you that the worst form of badness is not prostitution. The worst form of sin and badness is not drug addiction or alcoholism. The worst form of badness, my friends, is human goodness. When that human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth. Here at Living Hope Baptist Church, we believe in preaching that it's the blood of Jesus where you are saved. We preach that hell is hot and that Christ is returning. But we preach that our God is a God of love. And He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to go unto direct destruction. But you must be saved by the blood of Christ. So that when the death angel comes someday, as God said in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was the blood of the Passover lamb that saved the Jews in Pharaoh's day. It was the blood that saved and transformed Rahab and took her from the house of shame to God's hall of fame. Amen? Amen. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that will save you today. And I thank God every day of my life for the transforming power of the gospel. Friends, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And all God's people said, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. I say grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with every head bowed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon. You are God, you are worthy.